Hi, this is Pastor Paul Chappell here on the campus of Lancaster Baptist Church and West Coast Baptist College. I'm excited about the podcast ministry and the thousands of viewers and listeners who are hearing the Word of God through the ministry of Lancaster Baptist Church. Today we'll hear a special guest speaker whose message will be an inspiration to your Christian life. Thank you for being a growing Christian, and may God richly bless you today.
Proverbs chapter 4, let's all stand to our feet tonight, please. Proverbs chapter 4. I'm going to try to get right into the message. Thank you so much for allowing me to be here. It is true, all four of my children graduated from West Coast Baptist College. Last week, I was speaking at a youth camp in New Jersey, and the pastor came and asked me about West Coast Baptist College, and I was able to speak from a very first-hand experience, not only as a father, but as a pastor, and just really encouraged him about that decision. And today he flew in from Albuquerque, and the pastor there said, I've been influenced by the leadership conference. And so it's great to go as you travel to realize what ministry you have here. I want to say just one little word before we get into the scripture. It's true, 22 years, I think, I was in the old building upstairs when it was 100 degrees, yes. And it was amazing. I've encouraged Brother Chappell. I think every one of you ought to drive by that building every once in a while and realize that's where we came from. And never lose where we came from. You say, well, we have a great place now. Yeah, God did that. God did that. That means God's blessing folks for their obedience. Something I've noticed through these 20 plus years is that I heard it from Brother Trevor. I never thought it'd be true. It seems as the longer you have your pastor, the easier you're taking for granted. He didn't have to take off 6 weeks because he was taking it easy. He took off those weeks because he had expired himself. And I want to encourage the church body to lift up your pastor, of which many, many people need. And make that a daily habit of praying. And not just for pastor, but pastor's wife. Terry, always good to see you, and I mean that. I pray for you every day, every single day. And Danielle, good to see you. I think Larry's someplace else. I don't know where he is, but no, he is here, I'm sure, okay? Larry, Matt, and Christine, and the families. But please, and I know you hear it often, please take good care of your pastor. But watch this, take good care of the pastor's family also. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. The Bible says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Would you read that verse with me, please? Ready? Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Can I ask you to read it one more time, please? Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. It's amazing how God directed you and I explicitly to keep our heart. The word keep there means to guard, to build up defenses, to protect. He says, protect your heart. And he's not talking about a physical organ. He's talking about the decision maker. He's talking about that emotion, fulfillment. He's talking about our desires. And God Almighty used the wisest man outside of Christ on earth and had him write to us to say, keep or guard or protect your heart. Then he says, with all diligence, which he means that at all costs, you need to guard your heart. At all costs, you need to take care of that decision maker, about that emotion person. You got to guard your heart. Keep thy heart with all diligence. Why? Because out of it are the issues of life. And I've learned this. If you hurt your heart, you hurt your life. And if we don't guard our heart, if we don't guard our heart, then we hurt our life. When I look around an auditorium like this, I guarantee you there are a lot of hurt people. Shattered dreams. It's not the way I thought. I mean, whoever thought this family would have cancer? Or why did this loved one have to die? Or why prematurely like that? And if we are not careful to guard, protect our heart, and we hurt our lives. Father in heaven, I'd ask that you give me much wisdom tonight, as I would not want just to come, preach a message, and everyone just go home. And Lord, that's what it's all about. We might as well stop everything we do. But Father, we've earnestly come to a place that's called the house of God to hear the word of God. And we ought to all expect something to happen in our lives to make us more like God. Lord, I pray tonight that you would cause this voice, this earthen tongue, Lord, to speak thy word. As we leave this night, maybe we could help our heart, which in turn would help our lives. Help us this night, please. For Christ's sake, I pray with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you. Maybe you see to take your Bible. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20, please. I have a daughter who graduated here just a few years ago. She just got married a week ago on Friday night. And a wonderful Dr. Mark Rasmussen came and actually performed part of the ceremony, allowed me to walk my daughter down the aisle. My daughter's name is Natalie. She married a young man from the Santa Clara area. Something occurred with Natalie many years ago. She's about 7 years of age. I remember driving to work one day, and Natalie said these words to me. She said, "Dad?" I said, "Yeah." She says, "Dad, would you please lead a doctor to Christ?" I said, "Okay." Pastors always want to lead doctors to Christ, that's for sure, you know. And you know how that is. And I started driving down. We live on a little country road. And I said, "Natalie, now, why do you want me to lead a doctor to Christ?" She says, "Well, Dad, we just need a doctor in our church. And Dad, just I need you to lead a doctor to Christ." And I said, "Okay." We drove for another, 30 seconds. And she says, "Dad, really, I want you to lead a doctor to Christ." And she started quivering a little bit. I looked over to my 8-year-old daughter. I said, "Honey, I said, what's wrong?" She says, "Dad." She says, "Dad, I got problems." And yet your girl, now glassy-eyed, looking at me, and get a doctor saved and have him come to church. I said, "Natalie, help me, what's wrong?" She goes, "Dad, I don't know how to tell you this." I said, "Honey, what's wrong? What's wrong? You don't feel it?" She goes, "No, Dad." She goes, Dad, "I think I'm going crazy." Well, I thought, no. She goes, "No, Dad, I am." So we're driving down the country road. We're going forward. And she goes, "Dad, I'll show you." So you see down there on the road? I said, "Yeah." "You see that water on the road? That water on the road. It's right in the middle of summer. It's hot out. That water on the road." And also she goes, "Dad, look, we're here. That's not even there." I said, "What are you talking about?" She goes, "See down there, that water on the road?" I kept driving. She goes, "And now I'm here. It's not even here." She goes, "Dad, I'm going crazy." She was, "I'm going crazy." And then she really started tearing up. And I said, "Natalie, are you talking about like that water up there?" And she goes, "And you're crazy too?" I said, "Natalie, no, I need to teach you something, thermodynamics." I said, "When the heat comes down and hits the asphalt and gives that little appearance like there's water there." I said, there's really no water there. She goes, "But I see it." I said, "I know what you think you see, but it's not really water. It's kind of like an illusion." Well, she didn't understand illusion. Something that's pretty critical in the Christian life. We honestly believe we see something and that is real, but in all reality, it's not. It's not real. Going through a ministry of this caliber without having problems is not real. Having a family, then having grandchildren and having husbands and wives and what's this, and thinking everything's going to go smoothly is honestly an illusion. And sometimes we believe as Christians that everything ought to go well in our lifetime and everything ought to go well in our walk of life. And when it really doesn't really turn out that way, then something just happened and it didn't turn out the way I wanted it to. And we have shattered dreams and we have shattered, what's this? You never heard of shattered reality. It's always shattered dreams. The way I thought it should be. The way I dreamed it should be. But dreams are not real. They're just like those illusions. Would you look at Matthew chapter 20? Matthew chapter 20. By the way, Natalie is crazy. That's all there is to it. Amen. Matthew chapter 20. And God gives us a tremendous insight about this thing of illusions in our lives. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man, that is, an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went out their way, and again he went out about the sixth and the ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle, and saith unto them, why stand ye here all the day idle? And they say unto him, because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. And so when evening was come, the lord of the vineyard saith unto the steward, call the laborers and give them their hire, watch this, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. And when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more, and they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the goodman of the house. Isn't that an amazing story? Isn't that an amazing story? I don't know exactly what you have read and understood about this, but I realize the Bible says the kingdom of hand is like this story. The kingdom of heaven is like this story. And a man, an owner of a vineyard, had a field that he had to take care of, watch this, that day. Now, I'm not sure if you know much about agriculture, but every once in a while, you can have a field, and that field has to be picked, or that field has to be manicured, or it has to be done that day, because some specific things can happen to ruin a lot of the field. I worked in cornfields in the early part of my life, going through high school and early college. And I remember hot cornfields, and if you didn't get all the tassels off and it self-pollinated itself, we would have a hot field, and they bring busloads of workers in there to get it done that day. But if you didn't get it done that day, you lost the field. Well, this man is likened to that, and so he went into the area there, that marketplace, and he hired men, and he agreed with them to pay them a penny, a day's wage. After he got the laborers out there, it must have been that this man was not going to get the field done in time. As we went back into town about the third hour, 9 o'clock in the morning, and he hired another one. It wasn't enough help yet, so he also went out. In fact, can I just do this? Sir, can I have you come up here just for a minute? You don't mind doing that? Would that be okay? If they see you, they won't fall asleep, okay? So that'll help us out. All right, can you stand right up here? Right there, okay? Is that good, okay? You don't mind that? What's your name?
Well, Raymond.
Raymond. Raymond, you're right here, okay? I'm going to help out Raymond. And sir, what's your name right there?
Marcello.
Marcello, can you come up here? Marcello?
Yes.
Marcello, can you come up here also? Fell, let's make it easy here. Can you just down on the lower floor? No, all of us, all right, so I don't get anybody up here. Raymond, we got. And Marcello, come on down one more step. And we got Marcello, right? Marcello, just stay right down here. What's your name, sir? Is it okay to have you come up here? Here's what happened. Raymond, turn this way right here, okay? Here's what happened. Come over right over here, okay? I have a field to go get done, and so I went out in the morning, I hired somebody, and first name again?
Randy.
Randy, Tim Rule, how you doing? Pleasure to meet you, Randy. And Randy, I got to get this field done, so let's you and I have this conversation. How's that sound, all right? We're going to get this field done, and so I will pay you a fair day's wage for a fair day's work. How's that sound?
Sounds good.
Now, I need you from 6 in the morning, just about ready to start, until 6 at night, 12-hour day, but I got to get the field done, and I agree to pay you a fair day's wage. Is that agreed upon? Let's shake, all right? Yeah. How does that sound, okay? That's just like what happened. In fact, he hired several that morning to work in his field, several. But he found out he wanted to get the field done, so he came and he got Raymond. And Raymond, he says at 9 o'clock in the morning, Raymond, I still need some help in my field. I got to get back out there. Raymond, would you please come and help me? Would you do that?
Yeah.
I will take good care of you. How does that sound? And so watch this, about the 6 hour day, about noon, he realized he wasn't getting the job done again. So he went and got Marcello. Marcello, can you help me out here? Can you help me in the field, please? I'm not going to get it done. And I promise I'll take good care of you. How's that sound? Yeah. That's what he did. He also went out about the 9th hour. That's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And can I have another gentleman here? Sir, you can come right up here, okay? Can you come up here? You get the work of the big guys. How's that sound? Okay, good. All right. And so I'm going to hire you, and it's about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, but I really need your help to come out here. I promise, no, you stay right there. Okay, don't get in a hurry. But I'll take care of this. Is that okay? I'll take care of you. Understand that? Wonderful. Brother Halk, once you come up, I like Brother Halk, okay? I'm going to hire Brother Halk at 5 o'clock for 1 hour, amen, okay? 1 hour, okay? It's hot out there, folks. It's hot out there, okay? Brother Halk, I'm just not going to get the field done, so can you please help me get the field done? I'll take good care of you. How's that sound? Now, I don't know how much a day's wage is. I'm not sure how much really it is. We can't really do a day's wage. And honestly, I just got off the plane. I don't have any money. I don't have any. Let's just say $5, okay? $5. Can I just borrow $5 from somebody? Just $5. Don't look at me, Mrs. Rashman, that way. You got money, I know. Do you have $5? A $5 bill? Does somebody else have another $5? You have it up here? All right. No, you're reaching. Go ahead. All right. You got it? Oh, you have it? Give it to your husband? Well, you never do. Why should I, right? There you go. And good. 1, 2, 3, 4. I still need anybody else? Oh, you got some here? Does anybody else have any more? Have we taken the offering yet? Look at all the money in this pew. Man, I can't believe it. And okay. She can't give me change. Can you believe it? What's going on here? Oh, okay. All right. Here you go. It's only four. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm trying my best, okay? So here's what happens. We get the field done, and the Bible says, go ahead and take good care of them. And so I'm going to do just that. Oh, Brother Howe, thank you for helping me. Hired him at 5 o'clock. 5 o'clock. Worked 1 hour. Hey, here's a whole day's wage.
Thank you.
How do you like that?
I like it.
Man, you're on right there. Son, watch this. You only work 3 hours, but you're going to get a whole day's wage. How do you like that? Thanks for helping me out with the field, okay? I'm sorry, but youngsters know how to break all these. There you go. You get that. Marcelo, good to see you. Hey, thanks for helping me out. And I know I just picked you up at noon, worked 6 hours, but here's a whole day's wage right there. Raymond, I'm so proud of you for working so hard. Hey, watch this. I know you didn't work the whole day, but here's a whole day's wage. There you go. There you go. You okay?
Well.
What's well mean?
I worked a lot longer.
You what?
I worked a lot longer than these other guys
did. You did, didn't you?
Yeah, I did.
Because I came and got you, didn't I?
You did.
I did. So what's the problem?
Shouldn't I get more?
What?
Shouldn't I get more?
Shouldn't you get more? Let me just go back on something. Did I talk to you this morning?
Yeah, you did.
And did you and I agree?
Yes, sir.
We did. And did I pay you what we agreed?
Yes, sir. Yeah, you did.
Oh, I did, didn't I? So really, I completed exactly what you and I talked about. And you weren't there when I talked to him, were you?
No.
And you weren't there when I talked to him. And you were not there when I talked to him or him, right? But you have it in your mind now that I owe you more money. Wow. Watch this. Did I give him more money than I gave you?
No,
that's right. Did I give him more money than I gave you? Did I give Marcelo, his wife's money, more than you?
No.
Did I give Raymond more money than you? Can I ask you an honest question? Have I done anything in the world to actually make you really think I'm going to give you more money?
No.
Illusion. Well, I just thought. Now, why would you think that if you and I, watch this, we shook hands. I didn't shake his hand, nor his hand, nor his hand, nor his hand, until after the job was over. But the only thing I told them was, I will take good care of you. But you and I are the only ones we had an agreement, and we shook hands.
You're starting to learn this lesson, aren't you? You didn't think it was fair. Life's not fair. And sometimes we build an illusion that's not real. Then we go home. I can't believe that, boss. I can't believe it, man. Because he did what he said he was going to do, and now you're going to spread happens, doesn't it, folks? Can I have the money back, please? Doesn't last long, does it? It really doesn't. And thank you. Thank you, gentlemen, can have a seat right there. This is a great place to preach. I love this place myself. And it's awesome. You say, you're really going to do it? If Mrs. Rashton's in the group, yes, I'm really going to do it. So, no. What happened? The man said in that verse, listen, but when the first came, they supposed they should have received more. And when you start building something up that you think you should have, may I say this? I think all of my children should turn out right and serve the Lord and do a wonderful job. And I think all my church members should be in church every service and tithe and do what they're supposed to do. I think everybody ought to be a good soul winner and knock on doors and win the lost to Jesus Christ. You know something? That's an illusion. It doesn't really happen that way. And you and I will build ourselves up, and we have this high expectancy. And listen, we don't have shattered reality. We have shattered dreams, because we don't have heartache in our dreams. We don't have flat tires in our dreams. We don't have cancer in our dreams. We don't have a divorce in our dreams. And yet the world is filled with it, and yet we still don't recognize it, so we hurt our heart by building these illusions. Can I help you tonight? Number one, we ought to take a honest look at people. We ought to take a realistic view of people. 25 years, right, Brother Chapel? I'd have to venture to say this is very true. The greatest heartaches that Brother Chapel has ever endured in his ministry here have not been the fringe people in this ministry. In fact, it's been the very ones closest to his side that's caused the most heartache. Now, why would we get upset with that? Jesus Christ had 12, and one sold him out. One sold him out. And I can just look to the scriptures and realize that, hey, if someone's going to go against Jesus Christ, it'll probably happen to me. We have to have a realistic view of people. Do you understand we sin every day? And do you understand we make some pretty big mistakes? As Brother Gibbs would say, we have a case of the stupids every once in a while. And he's very true. So why does it really alarm us when someone offends us? I'll tell you why. Because we have an unrealistic view of people. And when it happens, we get our dreams shattered, but something goes wrong. Hey, look, we need to take a good look at the Word of God and realize that God is the one who holds our dreams, and God is the one who holds our hope. And we follow Him, then nothing else can happen to our lives. A gentleman called me up from a distant state. And he said these words. I had a girl attending West Coast. And I think he's a pastor, too. And he says, excuse me, Brother Rule, my son is starting to date a girl from your church. He said, I have some questions about it. I said, yes, sir, what can I do to help you out? He said, well, I really don't know the girl's character. I said, well, the girl's a good girl. She's somewhat brought up in rough homes and a little bit of foster care, and actually got to move in with a member of my staff, and she's done well. She finished her school. She's in Bible college. I'm proud of her. Well, I'm a little concerned about her past. I said, yes, sir, I understand that. I said, it wasn't her. It was her parents who did the drugs, and her parents that left her, and it wasn't her really choosing. And she's a pretty good girl. Well, I still have a problem with her. I really do. I'm not sure my son should be dating her. Now, I honestly didn't like the guy pressing me that way. And here's what I said. Most young people gravitate to their own level. So the girl that your son is dating is probably a whole lot like your son. Amen. And that's true. He didn't no longer want to talk. And listen, I just simply said, because it is very true. You take a new student to your school, and 6 ways, you know exactly where they are spiritually, because either they're all the way in, going soul and knocking on doors, or they're over here just trying to barely make the rules over here. And you see that just simply like that.
We gravitate to our own. He was disillusioned by saying, oh, it should have been a whole lot more than that. She was just like him. We feel everything needs to be special for us. You know, 90,000 people in America share your birthday. That's not fair. It's my birthday. My birthday. Just do the mathematics. If we don't have a realistic view of people, it's just we easily hurt our heart. Second, we need to have a realistic view about life. I was asked to give my testimony in Albuquerque last night. I guess it's not really fair to have your mother murdered. I guess it's not fair to have a stepfather do things that, you know, we don't talk about. Why would we think our life being different? Do we have a realistic view of what life's thought to be? Do you remember when Lazarus died and Mary ran out to meet Jesus? And here's what he said, Jesus, you remember? If you would have been here, he wouldn't have died. Jesus, if you would have been on time, Jesus, if you would have been here, Jesus, you've got a problem. Jesus loved Lazarus. Jesus loved Mary. Jesus loved Martha. But it didn't turn out the way he thought. Watch this. You don't expect people to die. You don't expect people to get diseases. You don't expect people to get cancer. And we don't have a realistic view of life when it comes. We start shattering our dreams and starts hurting our heart. And we hurt our heart. We hurt all those around us, don't we? And then Martha came up, Jesus, or Mary came up, Jesus, where were you? And Jesus wept. Jesus wept, for it says he had loved him. Just to hasten, so much to say. Maybe before we become disillusioned with other people, we need to walk in their shoes before we put them in their place. Just last night, I had two unruly teenagers in the service. Good parents. Bought them everything, but never spent time with them. You don't send your kids to the Christian school that have the Christian school rearing children. We are here to enhance and to help. We are not here to do your job. Amen. And when I heard the two teenagers' testimony, it gave me a whole greater realistic view of who and why they're acting the way they're acting. Lastly, the first young man was holding the owner to a contract. It's what we agreed upon. Ladies and gentlemen, if we hold Jesus to a contract, we'll get exactly what he promises. Well, I am tithing. Where's my blessings? Okay, he'll give them to you. If you will stop living by a contract and live by confidence, knowing he'll take good care of you, he'll change your life.
Amen.
See, when you hold God, okay, I pray, where's my answer? I gave, where's my money? I did this, where's this? You're trying to put God over a barrel. No one can put God over a barrel. But when you look up every day and say, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. And I trust whatever comes into my life today is what you want to be there. And if it's a flat tire today, I'm all in it. If it's a car breaking down, I'm all in it. If it's a phone call where something went horribly wrong in my home, I'm all in it. Because I'm not trying to hold you over a barrel that you owe me a good life. I'm simply here to say I have total confidence in what you bring my way is how I'm supposed to live. Shattered dreams? Yeah, I've had a few. You know you're in the ministry when David Gibbs is on speed dial. That's not good. It's not life we look at. It's him we look at. And everything else works out just fine. Amen. Would you stand with me, please? I want you to remember one thing tonight about seeing what is real and maybe not getting everything you think you ought to get. In other words, your wife doesn't treat you as good as you think she ought to treat you. And my husband doesn't provide what I think I ought to provide. And my kids don't behave as well as I think they ought to behave. In other words, you're just building that illusion. Here's the greatest thing I can tell you. You've got it made so much in life. You and I live better than 98.5% of the rest of the world. Do you understand that? Watch this, ladies and gentlemen. If this is 100% of the world, okay, you and I are at the 98.5% at the top. That's where everyone here tonight. You go to some other foreign country, you understand what I mean. We live at the 98.5% up here. You know what we're doing? We're jockeying for 1.5%. Now, the best thing to do, watch, if I got a report card and I got 4 A's and 1 F, what would you look at? The 1 F. Not me. I got 4 A's. And that would be a miracle. 4 A's. I used to have to add that little leg to it, the F, to make it look like an A. But watch this. If you'll live by what I call just the bonus factor, if you and I honestly got what we deserved, we'd die and go to hell tonight. So anything else besides that is a bonus. You lost your job. I'm not going to hell. You got bad health. I'm not going to hell. You're having family problems. I'm not going to hell. People are gossiping about you. I'm not going to hell. And if you really think about that real principle that we deserve to go there, and someone gave his only begotten son to pay the price for us, and we received him, and now we got this newness of life, and what should I worry about? I'm not going to die and go to hell. My sins are forgiven. I'm going to heaven. Hey, I might get there sooner than I want to. I might have cancer. I might have heartache. Hey, but I get to go to heaven, and that's all I need to know about. Hey, it's called the bonus factor. Got to take a realistic view. If not, if you hurt your heart, you're going to hurt your life, and you hurt those around you.
Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. I hope that your heart was drawn closer to God as a result of our time together today. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Lancaster Baptist Church, let me encourage you to visit lancasterbaptist.org. You'll see a tremendous amount of material there that will help you in your Christian life. And then if you'd like resources to help you on a daily basis, visit strivingtogether.com. There you'll find our newest resource, A Daily Word, 366 devotions, one a day, just to help you begin every morning with God. That's at strivingtogether.com. We'll look forward to seeing you next time on the podcast from Lancaster Baptist Church.